It's Keith Tomasek, and you're listening to The Inadequate Life, a podcast about the creative process and people whose lives depend upon it. On today's show, dancer Bethany Kovarik. We discuss what it's like to be an ensemble swing. It's a Cinderella story of musical theater, and it's coming right up on The Inadequate Life. Hey, thanks so much for joining me again today on The Inadequate Life. Bethany Kovarik has been dancing since she was knee-high to a bullfrog. In her teens, she traveled to New York and L.A. to train with some of the best and brightest in the dance business. This year, Bethany's on stage at the Stratford Festival. That's North America's premier classical repertory theater. I caught up with her just after one of her shows. She's the ensemble swing in Crazy for You. We're going to talk about that and what it's like to be a swing, which basically is sort of like an understudy in the dance world, although it's much more demanding than being an understudy. We'll talk about that. But first, as always, I'd like to thank my sponsor here at The Inadequate Life, Stratford Tea Leaves. If you're in Stratford, drop by Stratford Tea Leaves, book a tea tasting, or just drop in to experience the world's best, freshest, and most exotic loose leaf teas with Karen Hartwick. She's actually a tea sommelier. She's been through an amazing amount of training. Karen travels the world and goes to the plantations where the tea grows. And if you're not in Stratford, you can always visit her on stratfordtealeaves.com or just give her a call. The phone number's there. She'll tell you anything you need to know about tea. And if you're like me and try to avoid caffeine from time to time, she's got some teas that'll still give you a buzz without all those crazy things that happen with the caffeine. Also, I got an email. I don't get a ton of emails, but if you're, you know, feel like it, you're enjoying the podcast, don't hesitate to contact me at theinadequatelife.com. There's a feature there where you can just leave a message. I just wanted to read one out to you. This is from Roger, and Roger says, I just wanted to say how much I enjoyed your interview with Jim Mizon. I was a young actor at the Shaw Festival in the early 90s, and I can't tell you how much I admired Jim. I was lucky to be there for five seasons, and was even more fortunate to be able to call Jim a friend. I love what you're doing with the podcasts. Keep up the good work. Cheers, Roger. Well, thanks so much, Roger. I really appreciate the feedback, as I said. It makes a huge difference to know you're out there. Whatever it is you're doing, driving your car, working on the gym, maybe you're taking your dog for a walk, don't hesitate to give me some feedback. So Roger was at the Shaw Festival in the early 90s. Remember the early 90s, folks? That was, we talk about that in the podcast, Jim and I do. On Broadway, it was Kiss of the Spider Woman, Ragtime, a lot of Canadian connections there, the Sisters Rosenzweig, and Lion King, which opened in 1997. Seems so long ago, eh? So if you missed that podcast that Roger was talking about, Jim and I talked about what it feels like to start a family later in life. I started later. Susie and I both got married in our 40s, and Jim got married in his 50s and has a 4-year-old, and he's in his 60s. So it's never too late, and we do talk about what it's like as an artist and how being an artist or being a performer can sort of affect your life in ways that take you out of the societal norms and the sort of regular paths that we all go through. No reason not to pursue those paths, whatever they may be. That's in the episode of The Inadequate Life with me and Jim Mizon from the Shaw Festival. Now, today, Bethany Kovarik. Yeah, what fun I had talking to Bethany. She's from Kitchener, Ontario, or that region originally. Now she's in Stratford, where she's performing in Crazy for You as the Ensemble Swing. And in case you're not familiar with it, and she's going to tell you all about it, the Ensemble Swing is a person kind of like, actually it was Groove, it was Sally. If you're in Stratford, here's a plug. If you're in the Stratford, there's a clothing store called Groove. You can look them up on Facebook, G-R-U-V. They have the most amazing clothes there. And I kid you not, I buy stuff there that I see at like Sporting Life in Toronto or other Toronto stores on Queen Street. And the stuff's like 30% cheaper. That's the regular price at Groove on Ontario Street in Stratford. Anyway, so I'm in Groove talking to Sally, who runs the place. And I was explaining to Sally what Bethany does at the Stratford Festival, which is really she has to know 8 people's dance parts and singing parts. And Sally says, oh, so she's like a backup goalie. And I'm like, yeah, but for every position on the team. And that's really what Bethany has to do. She covers for any particular dancer, female dancer in the ensemble who might be away on any particular day. So every show, she's there, ready to go, not knowing if she's even going to be on stage. And if she gets called on stage, not exactly knowing whose part she's going to play till she gets that call. So you can imagine how stressful that would be and maybe how lonely, and I kind of bring that up twice, it would be to be there every night but not necessarily get on stage. Anyway, she's doing really, it's a hard role emotionally in terms of, am I going to make it? Am I on stage? Am I not? So it's difficult emotionally, but it's also difficult in terms of your skill level and being prepped and being confident that you're ready to go. And the dancing in Crazy for You is so athletic, like one slip and you could really hurt someone. Anyway, she manages, she's excellent, she's doing a great job. And here's my conversation from Revel Cafe with Bethany Kovarik.
I learned 8.
Okay.
I've learned 8 in this show, Crazy for You.
Yeah.
And I find it super challenging at the beginning. Let's just put it out there right away.
I can't imagine. You've got to have 8 different dance tracks. So down in your head. And in Crazy for You, for the folks that haven't seen it, there's women who are flying in the air.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so that's a lot of pressure on the guy who's throwing you up. If you've never done it before, all of a sudden you got to go on stage one day and you've never even worked together. Or you maybe did during rehearsals, but you haven't since.
Well, barely during rehearsals, right? So, yeah. So basically, I have another swing partner in the show. He's the male swing, right. Galen. And we are off to the sides during rehearsals. And we're, you know, jotting down notes. We're taking down, you know, where each person is and each in the spacing, yeah, and the transitions and all of that. We're learning the choreography on the side. And my favorite time is when they call a 15-minute break, because then I get to actually go in the rehearsal hall and, yeah, be able to do the choreography full out and whatnot. So that's my favorite time. That's like prime time for swings. And then, you know, we're back in kind of just a little bit off
on
to the side,
yeah,
learning your stuff. So the whole process of it, like, you, no one has a certain way of how you do your swing job.
Sure.
And for me, it was like, this was my first time swinging anything. So I had no idea what my process was, right? And other people was giving me, you know, suggestions and, hey, you know, how to prepare for
8 different tracks.
Right. And I don't think I knew what I was getting myself into.
Okay.
By, like, right,
that's
away,
so
I put myself in this swing role. I'm like, okay, you know, what do I do?
Yeah.
So one person suggested, just learn one person's track.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was focusing on that a little bit, and, you know, all of a sudden I just had to say, you know what? Okay. This is like my, I just had to, you know, kind of figure it out for myself. So the whole process, like I started writing down the whole show. So I really took apart the big numbers.
Yeah.
We have three ensemble numbers,
yeah.
Slap That Bass, I've Got Rhythm, and Stiff Upper Lip.
Right.
So I started, you know, really taking those apart. I got the choreography. That's like the thing that I know.
Well, that's what you
the
do.
Easiest,
you're a dancer.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's nothing. I got the choreography done. It was, the next thing was how to fill those holes.
Ah,
right.
Yeah.
So I never paid attention to like where the guys were. All of a sudden they'd show up and I'm like, okay, now I'm in a lift with them.
Right.
Kind of thing.
They'd show up and now I'm in a lift.
And now
here I go.
And that was the other challenging thing, is like, you never really did get a chance to be able to practice and rehearse these lifts with like the different boys. So what we started to do was when we opened a couple weeks ago, we started doing lifts and stuff like that during lift warm up. So we have, after, you know, a 2 o'clock show, for example, we would do a lift warm up at 1 o'clock, and then we would do our fight warm up. So we have to do certain lifts that
so
are pretty challenging.
Yeah,
in the show.
Yeah.
So I started working on some of the lifts with the different male partners and stuff like that. But yeah. It's, I feel like I'm like all over the map, because I feel like that's kind of where I'm at with being a swing.
Every
is
day.
Is being you, all every, over the map.
Every single day you have to be prepared for one of 8 particular roles.
Yeah.
And not only
yeah.
the dancing, because you're a vocalist as well.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
It's not just the dancing.
It's not just the dancing. It's the singing as well. So you just have to know everything. And I think, like, I'm a very determined hard worker, and that's definitely an attribute that you need to have as a swing.
And so,
sure.
So the swing and the choreography came naturally to you, but you probably have to cover like alto, middle, soprano. Do you have the range vocally to do that? Or
yeah. because the show is so challenging with, you know, the movements and stuff like that, I learned the soprano part. That was something that we decided that we were going to do, just to keep that consistent with me.
Sure.
Because of how crazy all the choreography is.
Yeah.
And you know, how there was just so much to learn at the beginning.
Like, yeah.
That, you know, focusing on one vocal track was what we,
right. So
what
you just
we decided.
Pick the one and just do it. So you're not,
yeah,
doing them all, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, when I was studying theater in Montreal, the year-end production 1 year was Nono Nanette, and I can't really sing, but the juniors, we all had to go in the ensemble and everything, so I lip-synced. Like, I just can't sing. So I was lip-syncing.
Sometimes
I felt
you just
terrible.
Have to do that, right?
Yeah.
Fake it till you make it.
Okay. That's funny. Yeah. Well, I did, and no one could tell, so I don't think anyone could tell.
Hey, no.
But you can't fake dance. That's the thing.
Yeah, you can't fake dance. You can't fake getting yourself into this professional industry.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be the best for you in order to be the best for the stage, right? And I'm in the big leagues. Like, this Stratford
huge.
Festival
yeah.
is absolutely huge. So it's like a huge blessing and a pleasure that I'm being able to do this swing work. And, you know, for a sense, there is that feeling. It's my first year here, right? So there is that a little bit of a sense of feeling of, you know, needing to prove yourself,
of course,
or,
yeah.
you know, all of that. I think that's in constant in a really strong professional industry, no matter what industry that you're
yeah,
in,
yeah.
you know?
Do your best. Because on a daily basis, you probably, like when we talked about doing this interview, you had a show today. So I said, oh, I don't think you're going to make it in time because how are you going to get your makeup off? And you replied, well, I'm not on the show today. And I'm like, oh, I must be awful to be there. So paint a picture of what it's like. You arrive, the company arrives, there's this buzz, they're all getting their costumes on.
Yeah.
And do you feel a bit isolated? Because you know you're probably not going on that day.
Yeah, yeah, it all depends on, I absolutely do feel isolated and alone,
yeah.
you know, and my swing partner, he's doing something different, I'm doing something different. So if we do have a 2 o'clock show, our call time is 1:25. So I always have to be there for 1:25. As a swing, you always have to be there throughout the show.
Right.
An understudy, they would get hired for 1 to 2 roles.
Yeah.
That's kind of what an understudy is. And they more have, they usually have dialogue.
Sure.
That's what an understudy role is. Whereas a swing is, it's learning ensemble work.
Right.
So I know the 8 Folly Girls tracks for the show.
And then while they're out there doing it and then running around costume change, you're just kind of on your own, or?
Yeah. Like I'm just kind of on my own. I'll sometimes go in, you know, the dance room at the back,
right.
and do that. Sometimes I'll watch the show.
So if you're in the dance room, can you hear the music and
yeah.
you run the choreography while it's going out on stage?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I'll go in that rehearsal hall and I'll run. I'll just.
So do you feel lonely?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's not always the funnest, but you know, it is your job
of
and
course.
You always have to know that you, okay, I have to be prepared to like go on no matter what.
Has it ever happened in the middle of a show? Because I talked to Chelina Kennedy last year and she lost her voice in the middle of Evita and had to run out and someone came in like in the middle of the show. So this hasn't happened to you yet.
No, that hasn't happened to me yet. But there always is possibilities,
right.
and that's why the swings have to stay there
what
throughout the whole show.
About the first time you had to do it.
That was really interesting. I was out and about doing some errands and I got a text message. I got a few text messages and the one was first from my friend who called out of the show and she just wanted to prepare me.
Oh,
and
so you heard
like,
from her before you heard from the
well,
stage
Well, she's
manager.
Like, I just want to let you know that I'm not feeling good. So
oh,
I just want to give
wow.
you the best heads up possible. So yeah. I have amazing girls in the show that are so kind to me and like always make me feel so amazing when I get to be on the stage with them
yeah.
and really, really do, you know, open that space for me just to have a really great time with them. So she did prepare me as far in advance as possible. And then I got another text message from a friend, but it was second, but I opened it up first because you know how the text
messages
come in.
Yeah.
So I opened hers up and she goes, you're on. I can't wait, kill it or something. And I was like, what does this mean? So I went to Maurice's text message, who I swung in for the first time, and she just explained, you know, how she wasn't feeling good. And then I got the stage manager's message. Like, they all just came in sporadically, and I was like, oh my gosh,
you show up.
So I started, you know, I was shaking. This is my first time ever that this, you know, possibility happened with me having to go on a couple hours before. So I just jumped in my car, got home, had some lunch, packed up my makeup and headed right to the theater. And then, the dance captain, we went over some choreography and just, you know, went over some things before our warm up and our vocal warm up and our fight, warm up, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I got there earlier and we talked through pretty much the whole show and I was prepared. I think that's what I could do for myself to not stress myself out,
of course,
is to prepare the best that I can.
Yeah.
And this whole process started in February.
Right.
Right.
So, but nevertheless, when you change one piece of such an intricate puzzle, everything is going to shift. So I wonder, does the rest of the ensemble kind of get a little bit on edge because they're not sure if you're going to bump into them when you're sort of moving across that stage? So they're all on tenterhooks and like...
Yeah, I think the best thing that you could ever hear and the best thing a swing could ever hear is when your ensemble castmates say to you, I didn't even know that you were on stage.
Of course, yeah.
So I've heard that quite a bit. Yeah.
None of the shove with love.
There was one by my lovely castmate Josh. He plays Bobby.
Oh yeah, the lead, the male lead.
Yeah. So that was a kind of funny thing, and I joke around with him quite a bit.
Did he have to shove you out of the way?
It was just during our final big ensemble number, Stiff Upper Lip and second act, and I was literally I just needed to move over a step, and it was towards the end and I was right in his position.
Oh, that's
he
nice.
Was walking forward and he just kind of like, you know, shoved with love.
I'm not doing it on purpose.
It was funny, so I can joke around with everybody, and sometimes we, you know, I can make a little mistake, and you know, you just have to make sure that you can forgive yourself because you do know so much.
And the ensemble is really the star of the show. Like, I mean, Kelly Nestrick in the Globe and Mail, the critic went as far as to list, now I'm realizing as I say this, he listed all the ensemble members. Did he list the swings? Do you remember? I don't know if he did or not. He actually, in his review, he actually took the time to list all,
I don't read the reviews.
Stratford Festival Reviews, that's my website.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and see if he actually listed the two swings.
Yeah. Well, one thing that was so exciting is the swings actually got to do the cast recording.
Oh, that's great.
Which is so exciting. Yeah. They had us all a part of it.
That's cool.
And so that was in London. We got to do that recording and it was a phenomenal experience. The CD sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's on iTunes. It's on CD Baby. You can get it at the gift shop at the festival. So here's the question. So now that you've proven your ability to cope with the emotional demands of being a swing, because I'm sure it's emotionally draining, because like you said, there's that company and they're all taking bows and you're backstage knowing I can do that, but you're not very often. But you can also, you cope with that, which is probably the hardest thing I'd imagine. You keep the multiple tracks down. You can sing. Are you worried because you're so good at this, you might get trapped in this?
I do worry a little bit. not gonna lie, it's definitely an ability and a skill that you have to have,
and it's an
important
every show it's like a super important ability.
I never knew I could do this, and I never knew I would be this good at it. Right, so you know, when you find something that really works for you, when you continue, you know, putting yourself out there as something like that, I mean, this festival is absolutely phenomenal, so I would love to be able to be a part of the next season.
Sure.
You know, whatever opportunities arise then.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, sometimes it is a blessing and sometimes it's not a blessing.
Yeah.
But you want to be, as a performer, as an artist, are you kidding me? You want to be on that stage every day.
Oh, yeah.
When my first time that I got to be on stage with the company, and it was my first swing with the audience. I went on, it was the Bobby's Follies, and we come out and we do I Can't Be Bothered. And I come out of there and like my eyes just filled with tears, and everything is just like right in your face. The audience is right there, on top of you. We have two big props of the Follies girls, and we come out of there, and it's just like, so everything is just so like. Packed on that stage, and it was just like the best feeling ever. Won't ever forget that feeling. Yeah. The first time on that Stafford Festival stage with like the lights and costumes and the audience, and it's just pretty magical. So you always want to be, as an artist, you always want to be able to perform, and you know, you get paid to do this, and not thinking you're sitting back in your dressing room waiting to go on the stage. You know, but sometimes when you do take the emotion out of it and say, okay, this is my job, this is what I'm doing, and this is my path, this is my journey, I'm stepping in my shoes, you know, this is what I'm doing this year. And I own that, and that feels a lot better than trying to compare yourself to somebody
else. And I've talked to a couple of folks in the podcast. The largest one of note is Inns Choi, who created, I don't know if you've seen or heard of the play Kim's Convenience. It toured across Canada. It came out of the Fringe Festival in Soul Pepper. And Inns Choi was, he wasn't an understudy, but he had when he first started at Stratford, he had small roles. And he was going nuts because he thought he could do more. So he just started writing the script for Kim's Convenience. And he said he basically wrote most of it backstage at the Stratford Festival because he wasn't on very often.
Yeah.
Whereas you got to pay attention. You got to keep on top of your dance numbers. Yep. So you're running this stuff backstage. So let's go way back to your beginning. Tell me about your love from dance. Do you remember when you were a kid, the first thing you saw that got you excited about dance?
Yeah, I started dancing when I was 3, and when I was in grade 7, I was 12 years old, I got a scholarship to dance in New York City.
Oh my goodness.
And
from Kitchener to New York City.
Yeah. It was from a dance competition, and I wasn't going to go. I was like,
parents. Like, as a parent, how would I deal with that?
It was their decision, almost, you know, as much as it was mine. It was also theirs, you know, kind of thing, and all of a sudden we just decided to go.
You guys went.
And it was my dad and I, and the first show I saw on Broadway was called Swing.
Wow.
And I remember I saw a couple shows that when I was there. I saw Chicago.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites, actually. Yeah.
It's a great
I got to see it with Kate Dambois years ago, and she's such a... Is it Kate? Yeah, or Charlotte. Charlotte Dambois. I can't forget who it is. Kate, I knew her sister. I used to work at a camp with her sister, so I always get Charlotte and Kate mixed up. Anyway,
oh, cool.
Chicago, love Chicago. Go on, sorry.
Yeah, no.
So you're in New York doing, getting dance
training. Yeah, and all of a sudden I just...
In grade seven,
and I knew right there, I was like, I wanna do this. I wanna be in theater, and I love being on the stage. Like, this looks amazing. And from there on, I never looked back. Hmm. I just pursued dance more and more and more, and just became really, really focused on that.
Yeah.
I loved training. I loved, you know, going to the studio and being part of that community and, you know, the social aspect of it and everything. But I really, you know, I was a dance competition kid, you know, so dance competition started in March. We finished in May, June kind of thing. And in the summer, I always would go to LA or New York or go train at different places for workshops.
That's a huge investment from your parents. But here again, me, this is the dad thinking. A huge investment, not only in time, but in money too.
Did you ever feel
that as a kid? Did you ever think, oh, I have to live up to all this?
That I have to live up to this, so I might as well pursue this dance career? Well,
or just realizing, wow, my parents are putting so much into this and there's a bit of pressure. Did you feel pressure, or was it...
I don't think I ever really felt pressured. Yeah. I think that I had maybe pressure in different ways, or I don't know if I like that word pressure exactly. There's a lot of choices to make.
Right.
And when I was finishing off grade 12, there was an opportunity for me to go to university. I got some acceptances to university. I got, you know, some places to college, not for dance.
Right.
So I feel like I had so many options, and wow, there's so many choices this day and age for everything. Right. And I feel like sometimes you feel you have to make this choice at that age too. And to be, you know, finding out what you want to do for the rest of your life.
You pick your path, which is
ridiculous. Which is really ridiculous. Yeah. And I get a lot of of emails from parents who email me because I know them from just teaching at different studios and whatnot. And they are, you know, asking me about their daughters and just graduating and stuff like that. And it's, yeah, it is definitely a choice and a decision that you have to make. But it's not one that needs to last forever either.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah,
so we can always change.
Yeah.
I think that there was, I think I put the most pressure on myself.
Okay. So internally,
I want everything to be the right choice.
Were you okay as a teen? Cause there is a ton of pressure. I'd say you have to conform and you have to look a certain way and be able to, you know, use your body every day and in, you know, very super athletic ways and creative ways and artistic ways. So did you ever have in your teens some kind of anxiety filled moments?
Yeah, I would definitely say that there was, because of being a perfectionist, I would definitely classify myself as that. You know, how do I do that swing job? It's like I do everything so rigorous and perfection. But I definitely, during my teens, I think is when you can really pick up certain things from how, you know, your environment and seeing people around you, and you're really sensitive to that.
Your teenage years.
I think. And what, you know, I was really dealing with a lot of self-esteem things, you know, deciding, you know, is this right for me? Oh my gosh. Am I good enough? Am I, you know, your self-worth and all that kind of stuff. And you can get yourself in a spiral, you know, definitely.
Did you feel that?
For sure. I definitely felt that. And it's how to get yourself out
you
of that.
On? Who did you lean on to help you get out of that?
Well, I had life coaches, which is phenomenal. I would always recommend, especially teens and that kind of age range, is to have a life coach, have someone to lean on.
Yeah.
I have amazing supportive parents that would just do absolutely anything for me.
I'm not even sure I know what a life coach is. Let's just go step back.
Yeah, life coach is just someone that is there for you to lean on to guide you and to like pick out, you know, your passions or what you're talking about, and they have their background in social work.
Interesting.
So yeah,
and would you see, is it like kind of ongoing, like you'd see them once a week or sort of thing, or just when there was like you were deep in crisis?
Yeah, that kind of thing. It wasn't like a routine of when I would go, but you know how you, even in high school and stuff, you can go to, they have
counseling
and that kind of stuff like that. So it's a lot along those lines.
Wow.
I think that,
and you said your parents were super supportive. Were they in the arts?
Yeah. Well, my dad was in the arts. He did a lot of community theater.
Yeah, that's everyone. You
with KWNP Musical Productions.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
okay.
So he did some shows with them. I worked on a show with my dad when I was super young. And, you know, so it was kind of like a father-daughter kind of thing. He wasn't, but he's an amazing singer. Hmm. And he's just naturally talented in his voice.
So he didn't train, he just started doing it.
Yeah.
So you grew up as a dancer and you were working in studios and practicing, and now you're in a professional show where is there a lot of room for self-expression and artistry? Because you're basically following Donna Fior, the choreographer's, the mechanics, and as a company or an ensemble, you've got to sort of all reflect the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
So where do you get the room for Bethany to come out?
Yeah, well, that's our job, is to do the choreography exactly how Donna portrayed it.
Yeah, you're better.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, not everyone can do this show, you know, that's why we have to go through a whole audition process and all of that stuff. So, you know, what Donna sees in that audition is who are you? You know, who is Bethany? What does she bring to the table? What's her zest kind of thing?
And how long did you feel you had to do that? I was a judge for Canadian Idol the first year, the music one, and I had 30 seconds. Like we had like 10 or 9,000 applicants in Toronto, and I'd be in a room with a group of people who were auditioning. They get 30 seconds to sing in front of me, and then I'd have to make the choice. Do I move them on to see Zach and the rest of the judges or not?
Oh,
it was
gosh.
Hard. It was really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were called dream bashers because really most of the people that came in, and just because there was so much volume, we only had 30 seconds. So how long did you have in front of Donna to let exactly what you're talking about come out?
Yeah, we did three auditions, one in Toronto and two in Stratford. So...
So the first one in Toronto was the one where if you didn't make that, you don't move up.
Yeah. There All was right. 100 dancers yeah. at that audition. And she had to cut some right away because the height requirement oh, was 5'7".
Okay. Sure.
But
so you get in, you walk in, what do you, she says do this or you have something prepared?
No. She says do this. So we do her choreography and then we go in
and it's
groups
cold.
Of five.
You've never seen it.
Never seen it before. And you know,
so where does then, what do you do with Bethany then? You kind of have to say, okay, I'm just going to.
Right now, let me just focus on the mechanics of it. Yeah. I just need to learn the choreography, yeah. you know, kind of thing. And then when we split into groups, that's when you have to like right away, turn on that pizzazz of whatever you have, right? Yeah. Whatever, you know, and everyone has something different and everyone should have something different, right? We're all artists. So, and then, you know, months later, here we are working at the Stratford Stage and it's you needing to bring yourself, you know, back to that, that state of, you know, why did I get hired? You know, you can lose sight of all that because you're so focused on your job and you're so like mechanical about learning so much. There's so much to learn,
yeah.
you know, and then you can scrap all of that. You know, sometimes, you know, you have all the technique in the world, you have all that and it's to let that go and then let that person come out.
Wow.
And I think what I love about what Donna really wanted from us was to have our personality come out on these characters
yeah,
and with
yeah,
our characters. Yeah. And that's what I really love too, is because we get to make up this character. She doesn't want us all the same. She doesn't want us all perfect.
Right, yeah.
Yes. We're, you know, Follies girls coming in from New York, entering Nevada. And you know, we all have some sort of different personality
that you're bringing to the table,
and that's yeah. what I believe she saw during the auditions.
Interesting. Okay. And then where do you find time to, are you, while you're doing this, are you doing any dance just for yourself?
Yeah.
Because when you're not doing someone else's choreography?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's, you know, you have to be able to, you know, extract all of that. Go into a dance studio, turn on the music and just let your soul just thrive, right?
Yeah.
And just let it speak, let the music speak to you. I think I love doing that. I'll just go into a studio, close off, you know, shut down the lights and put on music and be able to explore my body, explore me being as an artist. And I think, you know, doing a lot of work outside of theater, outside of this profession, I think is really benefited me into being the best performer that I can be.
Work outside the profession? That's a question I asked. I didn't ask you. Did you like civilian, like regular jobs, like working, like selling cotton? Is that what you mean? What were some of your regular jobs?
More of what I'm saying, work is self-work.
And oh, I see.
You don't get paid to do self-work.
No,
unfortunately.
No. Yeah.
But I think it's a huge crucial thing for everybody and especially as artists, right? Because we're just so put on there and put out there and, you know, people are judging you so quickly and there's so much self-criticism.
What is some of that work?
I've done, I've done the Landmark Forum, which
oh,
is
for
this.
Sure. I know that.
You
yeah.
know the Landmark
yeah.
Forum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not done it, but so, I did something else that was weirder and more cultish that I don't have to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah. But I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is the guy from Lululemon, did he do Landmark?
He has done Landmark. So
gotcha.
What Landmark is a personal growth and development course. So, you know, I've taken that course. I've done some meditation courses
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
So I love working on self outside of, you know, that whole profession to be able to, you know, come back and be the best performer that you can be. And it you know, it all balances it
yeah,
out,
yeah.
which is great. I'm definitely committed to being that best dancer that I can for myself,
for sure.
And for the stage and
yeah.
for, you know,
for the art,
for sure.
Did you have as you were growing up, did you have a dancer that you sort of aspired to or you enjoyed that dancer's work specifically or a choreographer, anything like that?
Yeah, there are some really amazing people in Toronto that I definitely aspire to. And it's just people that are working right next to me, like those choreographers. Jeff Demetrio, I absolutely adore him. He works in Toronto mostly on TV and film and does theater stuff as well. But I got to work with him when I was in Sheridan College is the school I went to for musical theater. And so he taught us during then and has hired me a few times outside of there. But I just really look up to him. I like who he is outside and as well as the artist right. during work, yeah. you know? So I respect him in all of those, yeah. in those ways.
And when you,
Tiffany McLean, she had a studio called Tiffany's Dance Elite. And so I didn't really train much from her. But I absolutely was so drawn to her and her attitude and everything about, you know, her life. And I think those are the type of people that I see as a round, as a whole, you know, mentally, physically, emotionally,
sure, yeah. balance,
just
yeah,
a balance. Yeah, yeah. When I see those people, that's who I really, really look up to.
Yeah. Well, you need that. I mean, when I was started at radio, I used to work with the radio Morning Man in Montreal, and people think the Morning Man is a wacky guy, and he was a wacky guy, and I'd never seen anyone drink so much coffee, but at the same time he painted. So he was the morning guy, and he was like, the, you know, funny and on the. But then he'd go away, and he'd be in a small room and just paint, and that was part of his balance.
Right? Yeah,
it was almost he would no talking, just him and his,
yeah,
his you know, canvas and everything, and watching the light and just working with light and space. It was, yeah. So I think I learned that, like you, at an early age, that balance is really the key. You can be successful, but if you lose it, it's gonna, you'll fall really, really quick.
You yeah know? You can't put all your eggs in one basket, you know, and you have to, I definitely believe you have to have that community around mm-hmm. you, with building those relationships mm-hmm. with your family, with your friends. I find that so important to me,
sure,
to always create that positive environment. And you know, just, you can have it all.
What's coming up next for you? So we were here till the end of October?
End of October. Yeah. And I head to the Dunfield Theater.
Excellent.
With Drayton Entertainment. I'm working on Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid.
For
the
Christmas show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kids yeah. love Christmas shows.
It's my favorite. Yeah. It's my favorite time of year to be able to do a Christmas show. And everyone's so excited. And to, you know, yeah. all the kids in the yeah. audience.
I took Cole last year to see Peter Pan. It was so much fun at Dunfield.
I was in that.
Okay. Were
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
He had so much fun. And he was in the last row. And at one point, I don't know who it was, someone asked something to the audience like they sometimes do. And he just screamed out the answer. And it was so weird. It was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Just, it was a pantomime. Yeah. Like, you get all involved in the audience.
He was
right?
so into it. Like, literally the last row. And when that person asked that question, he just screamed it right out.
Aww.
Yeah, it was lots of fun.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, The Little Mermaid. Is that what you said?
Yeah, The Little Mermaid.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much. And, continued great success with Crazy for You.
Thank you. I'll be on the stage.
Okay, well, I want Cole to see it. I'm dying for Cole to come see the show, actually.
Yeah.
I just, you can't walk out of that show and not feel like 10 times better than when you walked in.
It's something for everybody, which yeah. is super exciting. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Bethany.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, there she goes, the lovely and talented Bethany Kovarik. We recorded that interview live downstairs at Revel Cafe in Stratford. If you need a cup of coffee between a show, Revel Cafe downstairs, they have this amazing room with Persian carpets, wood tables, nice leather couches. Thanks, Anne. Thank you for letting us record down there. Hey, if you haven't seen Crazy for You at Stratford, I highly recommend it. As I said in the podcast, you can't leave without a smile. You'll feel 10 times better than when you walked in. And the soundtrack, they're just releasing it on iTunes. So if you just go to iTunes and look up the Stratford Festival or Crazy for You, there's a couple of Crazy for You's out there, but you can find it. You can also find The Inadequate Life on iTunes. So do me a huge favor. Just go to the iTunes store, look up The Inadequate Life. It's free. Click on the icon, and then on the left-hand side, you'll see a box that says Subscribe. Subscribe to it, and that way it'll come to you every 2 weeks or so as I release a new podcast. Also, if you've got an iPhone, you can listen to the podcast on your iPhone. You can, you know, when you're taking your dog for a walk, or maybe you're going to the gym, just go to the App Store and download the podcast app. You can do that on your iPad Air, whatever you have. The podcast app, and then same thing, look up The Inadequate Life on the app. And you can listen to it in the car, Bluetooth. I do that a lot. Hey, I want to say thanks to a brand new sponsor here at The Inadequate Life. I'm so excited. Cakes from Scratch, which is based in Kitchener, Ontario. They're a home-based business where confectionery meets creativity. We do talk about the creative process here. They do custom cakes for weddings, any kind of special events, pies. Who doesn't love a good pie? Cookies, anything, all kinds of baked goods. And if you've got people in your party who have special dietary requirements or allergies like I do, Cakes from Scratch is happy. They'll do a special order. They're happy to serve those people. Just look up cakesfromscratch.ca. Delivery's free if you're in the Kitchener-Waterloo area. Thanks so much again for listening to The Inadequate Life, a podcast about the creative process and people whose lives depend upon it. I'm Keith Tomasek. See you next Monday.